Well, do you think the Christian life is about staying the same or change? Does Jesus want you to be stationary or moving on? Well, the world and our culture says we need to press on and keep changing, keep opening our minds to new ways of thinking. The world makes us feel like we will be overtaken by someone else and be left behind if we don't keep up and keep pressing on to the next thing. So the world we live in portrays staying still as boring. Well, the Christians whom the verses are written to are in danger of falling into the trap of being deceived from thinking they need to move on from Christ. They were at risk of being open to strangers influencing their view about what it means to believe and to live the Christian life. And John's warning us that these deceivers want us to move on from Jesus, to run ahead and chase after the next thing. As if to say, well, yes, you've heard about Jesus and you believe, that's great, but what next? You can't stop there, you need more. And if you were to learn one thing from these verses, it's that you need to be on your guard, as people in your lifetime will try to mislead you. So be ready for it. And one way that you can do that is by continuing to root your life in Christ, learning more about the true gospel message in God's word, which can change our hearts and our life. Now, if you don't yet believe, then as we look at these verses, see two things. Firstly, see how you need to be careful what you listen to, as people and some churches might try to deceive you or teach you a false gospel that isn't based on God's word, which will ultimately be deceiving and damaging. And secondly, see how the Christian life isn't just about the day you get baptized being the start and end point, and that it's not about rules or about believing then searching for the next thing, but about continuing with Christ throughout your life. On screen is a picture of the General Sherman tree. It's been around for about 2,500 years and it lives in California. And it's an example of something that has stood still for its whole life. It's an interesting tree as it's the largest single stem tree in the world. And to give you a sense of scale, I've been there. And I went there and I saw it, and as you can see, from that left-hand side picture there, it's absolutely massive. The tree stays still, and yet does that mean it doesn't change or grow? Well, no, it changes and grows all the time by sticking where it is, being rooted in the soil that nourishes it, and that has taken it from being a tiny seed to the massive tree it is today. Well, John, who is writing this letter, wants us to be stationary, meaning to root our lives in Jesus and continue with him throughout the Christian life and not be deceived by false teachers that give us a false message about Christ, which encourages us to move on to something else. Well, this raises a few questions, which we will just think about for a few moments tonight. So firstly, what do false teachers teach and what should we do? And then lastly, how do we relate to them? Well, firstly, have you ever been deceived? Well, whilst in the US a few years ago, I went to see somebody called David Copperfield, who is a very extravagant, very impressive magician. Now, I had a seat very close to the stage, so I was very kind of skeptical about magic, yet he completely fooled me. As in one of his biggest tricks, he made a car disappear from the stage, which is just a few meters away from me. Now, I sometimes have flashbacks and I think, where did that car go? Was the car never actually there? But then somebody got into it, so it's all very confusing. It was a very clever and I was completely fooled by it. Now, the church John is writing to is in danger of being deceived about their faith by these kind of seemingly impressive people. And this deception is really serious for them and for us also, as it could lead to both immediate and eternal consequences, which is why John is writing out of concern to warn us. Now, at the time of writing, the gospel was spreading rapidly. There were house churches springing up everywhere, but the apostles had all but died out except for John. And as the church was spreading so quickly, it meant the careful oversight of the church was no longer possible. And there were also lots of traveling preachers and missionaries. However, the message these people were spreading didn't always reflect the gospel which the apostles preached. Their message had new insights. The strangers had this kind of allure, as it seemed, full of knowledge and experience in the world. But this extra knowledge would have come at a financial price. And these people are the deceivers John is writing about in verse 7, where we begin. People that deceive you by creating an illusion, a great argument for why you need something else aside from Christ, why you need to move on for Christ and pay for this extra knowledge. But why is it a big deal? Well, John is most likely writing to a church. He's aware of being at risk from being taken in by these worldly people. So have a look at verse 7. Note how it starts with, "I say this." And now John is referring back to the previous section we looked at last week, where I explained at the end of verse 6 how we need to keep walking in love. Now, because of the lack of supervision over the churches, there is a concern that people aren't living out the gospel and maybe at risk of being tempted by the deceivers and moving on from Christ, which is why he's reminding them that it matters to live this way. And if they don't keep their faith strong, then the deceivers can more easily take advantage of you. But what does a deceiver look like? Well, the word deceiver in this context means to lead astray or to cause others to wander from the truth. Now, the people living this way would usually be recognized by their behavior and their beliefs. And their core misleading belief in verse 7, John points out, is that they will deny who Jesus is. Now, this isn't a private kind of belief behind closed doors, but it's like a public denial. They would deny the Bible truth that he was both fully God and fully man. And this person is named by John as the Antichrist, as they're denying Christ of his status. But what do these people do? Well, look down at verse 7. John says they went out into the world. And this suggests they are going out into the world a bit like missionaries. They're trying to spread their message, and their target audience is to dominate churches. As there are a lot of new believers at the church, and as the church was spreading, it meant a lot of people were vulnerable. And John writes in verse 8 that he is concerned that if we listen to the false teachers and embrace their teaching, then we might lose what we have worked for. Now, the work of the readers would be their faith in Christ. And what they have worked for is eternal life. Now, just to help us understand this a little bit more, I'm just going to click on to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and a few verses from there, which I'll just read now. So this is from verses 11 to 15. It says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Well, what Paul is saying here is that on Judgment Day, God will test the quality of our service. So work that Christians do in faith and obedience will be rewarded if built on Christ's foundations. Everything else won't survive God's judgment, just like how wood or hay wouldn't survive a fire. Now, our salvation is not at risk, as this is based on grace, not works, but we can know that faithfulness will be recognized by God and have its own reward, which is what John's referring to. So what we do today can have an eternal effect for us. And John says, don't miss out on the reward that God will give for the quality of your work. Have an eternal perspective. Don't lose out by letting yourself get deceived. Stick with Christ. Well, how does this warning apply to us today? Well, at lunch, I was reminded of a newspaper called The Happy Newspaper, which shows only happy stories. So they just cover positive, happy things that people want to hear. This sounds great. Many people think real news is so depressing. It's much nicer hearing really positive things. And this is a bit like false teaching. It's easy for a church to attract you if they just tell you what you want to hear. Just hear about love, hear about how we love each other, about how these great things happen during the week, how you don't need to change your life. There is no cost. You don't need to trust in anyone. You don't need to give your life to Christ. And why would people not want to hear that? The church is saying, well, I can go to heaven, but I don't have to give up my current life. I don't have to hear about depressing stuff like sin or about how I'm actually flawed or that God is going to judge me for every bad thing I've ever done. Well, you might not hear of any false teaching within this church or maybe our partner churches, so it could just be in small ways that you're at risk. It could be maybe through a book. We thought, this looked great. We read it and it starts just to influence our way of thinking that we don't need Christ. Maybe it could be through a blog or a podcast we start to subscribe to, and the writer has new ways of thinking that make light of the work of Jesus. Maybe it could be for a conference. It's got great branding. We think, oh, it must be really good. And then we go and find people start to teach us new ways of thinking that deny Jesus. But the most likely form is the internet. We hear a topic at church and Google it for more explanation and find some people on YouTube who seem normal explaining parts of the Bible in ways that detracts from Christ. But they've got so much knowledge and the branding is so good, they seem really confident about it, so why wouldn't we believe them? Well, false teaching can also become relational. As if I start to allow myself to be influenced by a speaker, I'm probably going to start maybe sharing it online and recommending it to friends who may then get influenced by it. And why can it be easy to get sucked in? Well, because the world encourages us to move on. The world says you need something else, you need to keep moving. But if we think about the general Sherman tree, it doesn't walk off at night, go somewhere else, it stays rooted. Now, you might look at trees and you think, wow, that's so boring, what a dull life. What a shame it's stuck there its whole life. And maybe if you don't believe, that's what you think about Christians. But a tree is strong. It's building deeper roots all the time, and so are believers if we stick to Christ. We don't need to move on. We shouldn't look at the gospel and think, yeah, I'm bored of this. What else is there? I need something more. Christ gives us all we need to live the Christian life if we stick with him. So don't be complacent when you meet strangers or when you listen to talks online. Trust your life with Christ. Stay rooted to him and watch out for anyone who tries to tell you otherwise. Well, recently, Johnny Ive, the chief designer of Apple products, has left Apple. And Johnny was responsible for the ideas behind the iPhone and various different technical items that have changed the way that we live. Now, most of our developed world comes from past generations' kind of curiosity and thinking about what we have now. How can that be so much better if we do this? And they invent new ways to kind of help us live. But with the gospel, it can't get any better. We don't need to move on from it and invent a new gospel which makes less of Christ. And John in verse 9 warns us to look out for anyone who tries to run ahead as if they're innovating some kind of new gospel. And by run ahead, he means to move on from God's word and change the message to something the world would like, but that is inconsistent with the Bible. So John is concerned that we could be deceived by people who could suggest society has moved on from Bible times and that we need to kind of reinvent and modernize what it means to be a Christian. Now, verse 9 is going to sum up the previous verses by reiterating how we judge the issue of truth and how if we fail to remain in the truth, it can have devastating spiritual consequences. So what does it look like to live in the truth? Well, firstly, the truths in God's word are timeless. So do you ever feel the Bible is irrelevant? Well, every part of the Bible can still speak to us today. And why is that? Well, because our hearts don't change. Sin doesn't change. Our desires and needs don't change. The world still has wars. People still crave power and money. We don't need to think, well, the Bible was just for back then. I need something more relevant. God's word speaks to us today, and John says we need to continue listening, continue studying, continue living out the word, which false teachers wouldn't encourage us to do. And why is that so important? Well, firstly, because we need to be reminded through God's word of our need for Christ. As in the Bible, we are shown our sin and our foolishness. We will never really acknowledge our flaws or our sin if we're just told about it. We have to be shown it. We have to see it revealed to us. And we have to feel the weight of our sin revealed to us through God's word. As then it's kind of revealed to us through our experiences. And secondly, you're never going to love God unless you're shown that he loves you. You need to find yourselves in situations in life where you feel God's abandoned you. And then you find out he hasn't, and you start to trust him. Well, how are we tempted to be influenced by false teaching? Well, because if we listen to it and believe a message that doesn't mean we have to give our lives to Christ, it means we can give into temptation and go back to our old way of life. We can opt out. And when are we most tempted to be deceived by false teaching? Well, probably when we're really frustrated with life, frustrated with our contentment, our jobs, or our marriages. The world will always say, well, you can do more. You can have a better life, a better marriage. The world only gives discontentment, as it's always going to encourage the new thing. And John reminds us that to keep going in the Christian life, we have, verse 9, we need to continue in the teaching of the Father and the Son. But what does it mean to continue? Well, this relates to some verses in Colossians 2, which I realised this morning, for no coordination, Nick also referenced, but in a different section. So this is Colossians 2, and I'm going to read just verses 6 and 7, which says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Well, these verses show how to continue means just to root our lives in him, just like a tree roots in the ground. And then verse 7, we will be built up and strengthened, just like the General Sherman tree. And if we're strengthened, it means that when the storms come, our faith can withstand. But if we deny Christ and allow ourselves to be deceived and cut our roots to him, then our faith will slowly be lost. And how might our choice to continue with Christ or move on affect others? Well, a healthy tree is more likely to produce fruit. And if we continue with Christ, our faith will grow and it's going to change our lives so people might take notice. And then you can share the hope that you have. And we might see the fruit of people meeting Christ through our personal relationships. So don't run ahead. Don't be easy prey. Be assured of your relationship with God through the Son. Continue on with Christ to live a life for the glory of God. And lastly, how do we relate to false teachers? So John has told us who to watch out for in false teachers and how they will try to deny Christ. And how instead of moving on to something else, we need to continue with Christ. But this raises a problem as to how we show love to any strangers with these views. Well, when John wrote this, there were loads of traveling preachers who were dependent on hospitality, and Christians were aware of the need to support messengers of God's word. Now, if we look at the verses, John says that this practical encouragement of supporting them and being hospitable should depend on their message. John says in verse 10, "If anyone does not bring this teaching, that is, they're wanting to present something different to the gospel, then they shouldn't be welcomed in." So we shouldn't invite them into the church to speak. As if you allow them into your church as members or to speak, then you show acceptance for their views. We also shouldn't financially support them or invite them into our homes in order to encourage them. We can still be civil, but we just shouldn't do anything that endorses their message. And this means our hospitality to visiting preachers or missionaries should depend on what the content of their message is as to whether we should help them. Now, it's not about how they look or how great their personality is, but about their views towards Christ in what they preach and teach. Now, although you might read it and think, well, this is a bit impolite, it's not very friendly, if you allowed these people to have influence, then it would be spiritual suicide for the church. Now, these people want to undermine our faith, and so it would be completely unloving to the rest of the church to allow them in. Also, for the deceiver, it's not even loving to allow them in, as if we do, it confirms their error, and the person might never realise how their views are wrong if they're shown acceptance. So how could this link to us? Well, the church is growing, which means the people networks are growing. So new people or strangers may appear. So we have to be on guard to learn what people's views are. What do they believe about Jesus? Do they try to add to the gospel or encourage us to move on, to uproot and search for new things? Are they bringing new ideas about salvation? Well, yes, you found Jesus, that's great, but did you also know about this? Check out this YouTube channel or this church's blog. You can learn loads of new stuff on there. I was once on a big email mailing list for some event, and there were loads of messages flying around, and I remember somebody got so annoyed with this that they did a reply to all just saying, unsubscribe. And they obviously didn't want to hear this message anymore. And John is saying, if you're hearing false teaching, you've got to unsubscribe. So just don't listen. Don't subscribe to their YouTube channel. Don't subscribe to their blog. Be polite and gracious if it's in person, but don't support it. Don't let false teaching into your church, your home, or your life. And why is that? Well, at verse 11 it says, if we invite them into our churches and into our lives, then, verse 11, we share in their wicked work. So false teachers ultimately take side with evil, whether intentionally or accidentally, as they are encouraging the spread of the destruction of the truth. Deceivers wouldn't work out of love. They're not in unity with other believers. And these verses also relate to how we work with people from other churches, as we may have different views about secondary things, but we have to be united on the primary concern of the need for people to be saved through Jesus alone. We need to, despite our differences, be willing to work with other churches to share the gospel message, to show love to the world, providing they have the same primary views as us. Well, how does the letter end? Well, it reminds us that with the most difficult subjects to work through, it's best to do it face to face. Have a look at verse 12. John ends by saying he will meet with them face to face. And it starts by saying he has a lot to say, and he knows discussing some issues in person may be easier. And this will make his joy complete as he can see their reaction in person. And we can be reminded here that if we are to discern people's views on the gospel and to help teach, rebuke, or encourage, it's best to do it in person. If you've got something difficult to say, don't hide behind a letter. Practice speaking the truth in love face to face. So, if you believe, what are you going to do to help you stay on guard? How are you going to keep your roots stuck to Jesus? What are you going to do daily, weekly, to help get fed and grow? And how are we looking out for those in the church who are isolated or maybe struggling, who maybe don't get the same help or encouragement? Well, if we stick to Jesus and stick together in a forest of healthy Christians, the more likely it is with God's help, we can create a flourishing church that knows what true Christ-centered teaching is and generously gives their lives to be obedient to God's truths, which seeks to share that with others. This is the gospel, and may we seek to hear it, and may it change our lives for the glory of God.